and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. It is good to be with you again. Good to have you with me. Good for all of us to be back together again. The Speaking with community and guests. So good to have you back with us. And I want to ask you, when is the last time you used your smartphone? Have you found that phone to be as smart as you figured it would be? Maybe smarter than you figured it would be? I got to ask you now, when you think about what we're hearing and what we're reading about smartphones, the good and the not so good, do you like it more than you don't like it? In other words, are there things about smartphones that you do like? Are there things about smartphones that you don't like? Like, for instance, tracking capabilities, even when you don't want to be tracked. But on the other hand, how about being able to send text messages, group messages, phone calls, sending and receiving? And depending on which carrier you're with, being able to send, make, and receive calls internationally. Now, I know when we think about it, it can be hard to appreciate, but for those of you who were placing phone calls back in the day, and you remember what it was to have to stop by a payphone and hope that you could find one. I mean, because you really needed to make that call before you got home. Well, maybe you just wanted to make that call before you got home. Maybe it wasn't a real need, but you felt kind of pressed for time and you really wanted to make that call. You didn't want to wait 30 minutes. For those of you who live out there where the traffic is serious, an hour and 30 minutes before you could make the call. You wanted to make it in the next 10 to 15 minutes. And so you'd go from one block to the next, checking out the gas stations to see which one had a payphone in the parking lot. And you'd finally find one. Oh, great. Rush on over there just to discover you didn't have any coins on you. And for those of you who were not around at that time, the payphones really weren't free. You had to pay. That's why they were called payphones. Now, the beauty of it is you did not have to pay a fortune. That's one thing. The other thing is, and this too is the beauty of it, if you had your card with you with all these different numbers, not phone numbers, but personal identification numbers, things like that, you could use your phone card to charge a call to that card, which would then be charged to your regular home's phone bill. And you could still place your call. Now, that's not the way it started out. It wasn't like that from the beginning. The only way you could pay was by using those coins. Drop that coin down in the slot. It had to be the right amount. But check this out. I know this is exciting for those of you who weren't with us at the time. But if you wanted to make a long-distance call, because there was a difference between local call and long-distance, as you can imagine, calling long distance required more coins than calling local. And no, for the most part, you could not count on being able to slide a dollar bill into some dollar slot and use that for the coins. No, you had to have the coins. Drop them in there. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the local calls were unlimited as far as time. As far as how long you could talk, you put that money in there, you could talk for an hour if you wanted to. Whereas with the long distance calls, you drop those coins in there and it had to be a certain amount for a certain number of minutes. And once you were going to go over those minutes, either you put in more coins or you were disconnected. And so, and that's for real, I'm laughing, but that's really the way it happened. That's really why I'm laughing, because it really worked that way. International calls got to the point where you could do that too if you had enough coins. Or, like I said, eventually they started issuing cards that had personal identification number type deals on there, and you could use that charge it to your home phone. You were good to go. Of course, you still had to find a payphone. And as you know, over time, it became more and more difficult to find a payphone simply because there were fewer and fewer payphones being placed, whether inside the store, at the convenience store, or the parking lot at the convenience store, which is mainly where you would find them. Not the only places, but mainly where you'd find them. So eventually, as you can tell, payphones went the way of the dinosaur, especially as we started getting these awesome cell phones. And that's all we called them, you know, originally, cell phones. They were big and clunky. They looked great. Some of them did. But as those came on the scene, there was no more need for the payphones. So we found it more and more convenient. I mean, you didn't even have to leave your car to make or receive your calls. You could receive the call. And oh, man, you looked so cool. You know, especially when it first hit. And, you know, it wasn't everyone who had a cell phone. At the time, basically, you know, they came out with quite a few features out of the gate. It's just that they've multiplied since then. But even with the features that they put on those cell phones just from the very beginning, I'm impressed even now. And it was so cool. You would have one of those cell phones and a cell phone mount that was attached to that little hump in between the two seats on the front of your car. Of course, you could go ahead and have something attached to your dashboard. You know, you had choices, you had options. It was great. Time has progressed, and of course, we don't see those phones that are attached to the car in any way. But man, talk about features galore. I mean, features galore. And so now we can do so many things. I mean, who would have thought when the first cell phones were made available to us that we'd eventually be texting, reading the internet, playing games, all kinds of stuff on these smartphones now. And so we've made it. I say we've made it. They've made it. The technology people have made it so convenient to do so many things with our smartphones. Again, we can play games on them. We can do research on them, literally research on them. We can get messages out to someone in a moment's time. We can receive messages in a moment's time. And smartphones have made it really, really easy to multitask. And of course, we've been hearing that multitasking isn't necessarily a good thing. So that leads me to the gist of the discussion that I want us to really focus on today. And we're going to get some help from Health Day and WebMD. I want to ask, we're looking at the subject that I'm calling fat tech. Not PHAT. FAT, fat tech. Yeah, because I want us to take a look at whether or not with all these convenient features that enable us to do so much with our smartphones, you know, technically people don't call them cell phones much anymore, but smartphones, is there a possibility that people are getting fatter due to the evolving changes of our smartphones? Let's take a look. Mindlessly switching from your smartphone to other media devices and back again, scientists are saying could lead to added pounds. There's a new study. It's a small one. Want to share that with you now up front. It's a small study, but it's a study that found that heavy-duty media multitaskers not only have, you know, some issues when it comes to truly focusing, I mean truly focusing, and truly being productive, but scientists are saying that there may be some problems when it comes to gaining weight. Heavy duty media multitaskers and weight gain. There may be a connection. It's possible that these devices are actually, now get this, it's not necessarily what we might think. It's not necessarily or exclusively the fact that being multimedia taskers is just causing us to eat more because maybe we burn up more energy because of all that going back and forth, doing this and doing that, and it causes us to get hungrier. It's not necessarily just a desire to eat more. They're saying that the devices, the possibility now, that the devices are actually changing the brain. This is something, a theory put forth by Dr. Richard Lopez, who's a postdoctoral fellow in psychology at Rice University. In terms of weight, that could mean less self-control when fattening foods are at hand. So for their study, Dr. Lopez and his colleagues had 132 students aged 18 to 23 answer questions about how much they multitasked and how distractible they were. Certain questions such as, do you feel the urge to check your phone while you're talking to someone? Not necessarily do you actually check the phone while talking to someone, just do you feel the urge to check your phone while you're talking to someone? Were designed to detect compulsive or inappropriate cell phone use. So the researchers found that study participants with higher scores on the questionnaire tended to weigh more than the people who had lower scores, suggesting a possible link between the two. Next, Lopez's team had 72 of the students undergo an MRI brain scan while they were shown a series of pictures. Images of delicious, fattening foods were mixed in with the images. When the food images were viewed, check this out, activity increased in the part of the brain that's linked to food temptation. How many of you knew that there was a part of the brain that was linked to food temptation? How many of you can say that even when you have decided you're not going to eat a certain type of food, you find yourself eating it anyway? It shows up mysteriously. I'm saying mysteriously. Maybe you've attended some function, maybe a going away party for someone who maybe worked at a company for X number of years. They were retiring and they were having, I said, a going away party, a retirement party. You had to go and say, congratulations, wish you the best. And in the process, walking around, milling around, chatting with other people, you happened to see the food that was there. Lo and behold, as you were looking at the table, you noticed some stuff that really jumped out at you. I mean, it really jumped out at you, jumped off the table, grabbed your eyes, and positioned your head to grab you by the temples and focus your eyes right on them. A cake did it to you. An apple pie did it to you. Just grabbed your temples and said, look at me. And you had already decided 2 days ago that for the next 2 months, you weren't putting any of that fattening food in your body. That apple pie grabbed hold of your temples. That chocolate cake grabbed hold of your temples. Well, you had to obey, right? So you went on ahead and splurged. You got you a slice of apple pie and milled around while you were eating on that. And once you finished it off, you made your way back over to the table and you had to obey that chocolate cake. And it told you, eat me too. So you got you a slightly bigger slice of chocolate cake than the apple pie, and you just took your time walking around, eating that chocolate cake while you chatted with different people, made sure you went to the guest of honor. That's why you were there. How many of you can say, honestly, it doesn't matter how much of that stuff is around, you can see it and not be tempted at all to eat it because you made up your mind. I'm not eating that. I'm not interested. How many of you have noticed that the more faithful you are, the more committed you are to your exercise routine, the less desire you have for the fattening foods that are not healthy for you? Really, really good to you, but not good for you. You just lose desire for it. Once in a while, you'll go ahead and get a little bit, but you may be thinking, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and splurge and get me a slice of carrot cake today. I haven't had any desserts in the last 6 months. So you get you a slice of carrot cake thinking you're going to eat the whole thing. Get about a third of the way through it and you've had enough. I mean, truly had enough. Well, one of the things they're saying is that we need to be thinking not only about willpower and exercise programs, etc., but we also need to be thinking about our commitment or our addiction to smartphones. Food images viewed, the activity in the part of the brain that's linked to food and temptation increased. And these participants, who also tended to have more body fat, spent more time at campus cafeterias. Interesting. The study can't prove, and here we go, and I love it when, you know, we get this kind of integrity as part of the equation. The study can't prove that multitasking makes a person fat. It's only suggesting that there's a possible association, but Dr. Lopez believes that the findings suggest a link between multitasking and obesity risk, the connection being the part of the brain that responds to temptation. Noting that smartphones and tablets have only been around for about a decade, Dr. Lopez says it's really too soon to understand all the repercussions. He admits that they really don't know what all the effects that these behaviors are having on us as we respond to other aspects of our environment. So in future research, Dr. Lopez's team hopes to learn if people with poor self-control are easily distracted by multimedia, or whether it's that people who multitask electronically are likely to lose self-control over time. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Where are you with this? That was just a small study, again, of 132 students. Did you hear anything in there that might have resonated with you? Wow, it's all about controlism. Back in just a few.